Interesting story this. Experts at Cambridge University claimed they had uncovered a major flaw in chip and pin. They said the problem was so serious that it showed the whole system needed revising. Now, some of those same experts say they are under serious pressure from banks and credit card lenders, accusing them of bullying tactics and claiming that they're being pressured to censor or remove their research findings from the internet. Professor Ross Anderson is from Cambridge University's computer laboratory. Ross, good morning to you. Morning to you, Ross. We don't seem to have Professor Ross Anderson with us this morning. Some of this this research is suggesting that the chip and pin system is so flawed that it's quite easy to get in behind. And Professor Ross Anderson from Cambridge University, he's protecting the person that's actually initially done this research. It was one of his PhD students, and hopefully during the programme today we'll be able to find out exactly what is happening and what the UK Cards Association is saying. They say that they've written to Cambridge not to challenge the work of the university's security academics, but only to challenge whether actually publishing the explicit details of how to attempt a fraud. Specifically, they say one where there's no evidence of a fraudster yet undertaking it is necessary. I think we can talk to Professor Ross Anderson now. Professor Ross, good morning to you.
Good morning.
There you are, Ross. Thank you for joining us this morning. So tell us what's happened here. One of your PhD students has discovered a way of getting in behind the chip and pin system.
Well, what happened is that last week we got a letter from the UK Cards Association, that's the British Banks Trade Union, saying that we should immediately take down Omar Chowdhury's MPhil thesis from the web. And they were objecting to the fact that it's got details of an attack on the chip and pin system. But this is an attack that we notified the banks of a bit over a year ago, in early December 2009, and which was publicized, in fact, in Newsnight in February this year. So it's a flaw that the banks had a year or so to fix, and most of them did nothing about it. And then all of a sudden, a month or so ago, it seems they panicked and they tried to suppress the research.
And the research that is published online, Ross, does that actually show people how to get in behind the system? Does it demonstrate what to do?
Well, it contains the design of a device that you can use for monitoring the communications between a chip and pin card and a merchant terminal. Now, the thesis doesn't actually contain the code that you need to do an attack. The device is designed primarily as a defensive device so that shopkeepers and banks can check whether their chip and pin terminals and software are secure. It can, in fact, be used to do attacks, and somebody who's technically adept could use it for that purpose. But the point is, the bad guys already know how to do this. The reason we did this research back in 2009 is that we had significant numbers of people coming to us saying that the chip and pin cards had been stolen. They had then been used in shops or in ATMs. The pin couldn't possibly have been compromised, but the bank said it must have been their fault because they must have had the pin with the card when it was stolen. So we did some investigations and we found out how it's possible to use a chip and pin card without knowing the pin.
So this chip and pin system, of course, was introduced into the country, Ross, as a fail-safe way of us using our credit cards. We hold the PIN number, and if we don't give it away, we're led to believe that our transactions are secure. You're telling us that's not the case.
Well, it's not clear that chip and PIN cut fraud at all. Some types of fraud went up and other types of fraud went down, and it looks like the overall volume of fraud may in fact have increased. But what chip and PIN did change was the liability rules. You see, in the old days, if you disputed a transaction, you'd complain to the bank and you'd have a reasonable chance to get your money back. But nowadays, if you dispute a transaction, then the bank will look to see whether a PIN was used or not. And if a PIN was used, they'll blame you. And if a PIN wasn't used, they'll charge back the transaction to the merchant. So from the bank's point of view, this is a scheme whereby they don't have to pay for fraud anymore.
And so that I understand this clearly, Ross, are you telling me that the vulnerability in the system makes it easy for fraudsters to discover the PIN or to use the card without the PIN?
To use the card without the PIN. And the interesting thing is the receipt you get from the terminal still says PIN verified. So, in fact, most banks simply don't know whether a PIN was used with a transaction or not. And so when they blame you and they say, your card was used, your PIN was used, therefore it's your fault, they just don't know, most of them.
So what?
Now, since then, one of the banks has fixed the flaw. Barclays has fixed it in that you can no longer do this attack on a Barclays card in a Barclays merchant terminal. But you can do it on a Lloyds card in a Barclays merchant terminal, for example, and we've not checked the others.
Well, and obviously what we haven't done is we haven't got a representative from Lloyds or any of the other major banks on the programme this morning to give us their side of the story. What type of pressure, then, have you been coming under in general from banks?
Well, the banks basically wrote to the university's Director of Public Affairs demanding that Omar's thesis be taken offline, and asking for comfort about his publication policy in the future, which shows an amazing misunderstanding of what universities are and how we work. I mean, our Director of Public Affairs isn't the guy who decides what we publish. We academics do that. It shows a very, very strange misunderstanding of the world. Now, given that Cambridge has been the home of all sorts of disruptive scholars and scientists like Erasmus and Newton and Darwin, we're, you know, fairly used to pressures from outside, and we're absolutely determined to resist them.
I guess what the UK Cards Association are saying in their statement, though, Ross, if I just translate it rather than read it all out to you, they said, look, can they not work together? Can you all not work together? There's no evidence, they're saying, of any fraudster yet undertaking this system, and therefore, is it really in the public interest to publish the detail of how to do it online?
Well, we're always open to work together with the industry, but they show no interest in working together with outsiders outside their cosy club. And from the point of view of the disclosure of vulnerabilities, this is something that has been debated over many years, in fact, over many centuries, by people who do research in security. And the consensus of security researchers nowadays is what's called responsible disclosure. That is, if you find a vulnerability, you notify the affected people and you give them a few months to fix their software, and then you publicize it. Because without the threat of eventual publication, they won't fix it. But if you publish without giving people a fair chance to fix the systems, then you may help the bad guys.
But in publishing the explicit details of how to attempt the fraud, are you not increasing the likelihood of fraudsters doing it?
Well, the experience that we have over many years over a wide range of systems is that the optimal outcome comes from a responsible disclosure. Now, the fact that the vulnerability was disclosed to the banks in December last year and publicized in February helped motivate some banks like Barclays to lean on their software suppliers to fix the problem. And we, in fact, worked together with a guy from the firm that supplies Barclays with his software. He visited us a couple of times during the year.
So, Ross, as it stands at the moment, what are you saying to people? In your view, is chip and PIN safe?
The problem with chip and PIN is that the liability for fraud is dumped on the customers and the merchants. That's fundamentally a regulatory failure. That's fundamentally a problem of the Financial Services and Markets Act of 2000, which undermined banking regulation in the UK. And the funny thing is that the junior minister who piloted that bill through Parliament, Melanie Johnson, is now the chair of the UK Cards Association, which wrote to us telling us to take the paper down.
Well, but they also, just finally, Ross, they are also publicly asking you to work with them. Let me quote them. We remain hopeful, say the UK Cards Association, that the academics concerned will work with us rather than against us to help defeat the fraudsters, as unfortunately it is only the fraudsters who stand to gain from any lack of cooperation between us. So they are publicly saying, look, work with this. Will you do that?
Well, we have worked with the software suppliers who supply the software to Barclays. But I think that the text in that letter from UKCA has to be read with a pinch of salt, because UKCA and its predecessor, Apex, always seem to have set their face against doing anything other than simply being the public relations front for the banks.
What you're suggesting this morning, Ross, is that this flaw is still present in a system that is used by hundreds of millions of people.
Indeed so. And we've had media teams come over from a number of countries where the local banks have said, you know, our systems are secure, and so the TV crews have come over to Cambridge, and Omar and I and others have shown that frauds can be done against cards issued in their countries. So the specific thing that they're protesting against is that a TV crew came over from France, where the French banks have been complaining, claiming that the systems were secure, and Omar promptly showed how to do a no-pin transaction on the card of one of the French journalists.
Just finally, Ross, it just strikes me as bizarre, therefore, that if the UK Cards Association have got this right, you're saying there's a fundamental flaw in the system, and yet no fraudster has actually done it yet.
Well, we believe that fraudsters have been using techniques like this because of the large numbers of people who've complained to us.
UK Cards Association said it hasn't happened yet. There's no evidence of it happening.
Well, they can't get any evidence of it because the systems can't detect it. And in any case, you know, when somebody says there is no evidence of something, you know, that gets my bogon counter going. That's a standard excuse used by people who are covering something up.
You're not seriously suggesting that the UK Cards Association is aware of widespread fraud and is covering it up. That's a very strong allegation to make against them.
My point is this, that over the years, over the last year or so, we've done a significant number of test transactions on cards from a number of different issuers, a number of different terminals, and there's never been any comeback. We see no evidence, if I may use UKCA's own phrase, that the average bank has the slightest clue or the slightest way of finding out whether a transaction was made with a PIN or not. They simply don't have the software to look at their logs in the right way. And so, of course, the banks will say, we see no evidence of fraud. But what I would like to see the banks publishing is proper statistics of fraud, that is, not just of the frauds that they pay out on, but of the frauds that are complained of by their customers and which they decide they're not going to pay out on because they've decided to assign that liability to the customer or to the merchant.
For me to be clear, what you're saying in this programme this morning is that you think that there is fraud taking place in the UK within the chip and PIN system and the banking industry doesn't know about it.
Exactly so. And what's more, the banking industry doesn't want to know about it.
Well, that would be extraordinary if that was the case.
Well, it's something that we've observed and written about for several years now, and you can find support for it if you look at the British Crime Survey's Annex C, which was published online in July. What that shows is that last year, about 1 million people in Britain were the victims of traditional acquisitive crimes, such as burglaries and car thefts, and a bit over 2 million people were victims of more modern types of crime, such as phishing, card cloning, online lottery scams, and so on and so forth.
You've got to be responsible here, though, Ross, because Cambridge University, you know, the brand itself in Cambridge University is as important to you as it is to many other people, and the integrity that there is behind Cambridge University. And you are accusing the banking industry this morning on this network of covering up fraud throughout this country.
Well, not so much of consciously covering up, but simply of not wanting to know. And this has been a systemic problem, I'm afraid, for a number of years. We've written a series of papers about it. Again and again and again, the banks have claimed that their systems are secure and that certain types of fraud couldn't happen. Again and again, we've showed in detail how these frauds can happen. 2 years ago, for example, we predicted that PIN entry devices were vulnerable to tampering, that people could put wicked electronics in them that would record people's card and PIN details. Nor said the banks, this is far, far too difficult, it won't happen. Within a few months, the police had found a number of terminals which had small mobile phones inserted in them en route from the factory to the UK. And so shopkeepers were taking terminals new out of the box, installing them in their shops, and these terminals were stealing people's chip and PIN details.
Well, Ross, obviously, I dare say we'll hear a lot more about this from the banking industry. Thank you.
Thank
in the meantime, Professor Ross Anderson from Cambridge University's Computer Laboratory. 10:38, here's Jay with the weather.